I haven't gone this long without preaching in 27 years, and I have really enjoyed it. And I know y'all have too. Elaine and Larry were here with their extended family, and before services, Elaine said, "Oh, I was hoping to hear Rick this morning," and Susan said, "Oh, you'll enjoy the lesson this morning. Josh is good." And so anyway, after services, she said, "Well, what'd you think? We were still sad Rick wasn't here." And like, "Rick who?" So, actually, she didn't put it that way. I have truly enjoyed the times of refreshment that we've had with Josh. It's a great perspective that he brings. He definitely has a talent at speaking and at writing. And so it's like I tell people, it's like we robbed a bank. We just really did well. And for he and Becca too, I know it's the same to be able to come to a congregation like this congregation, where everybody loves everybody, and it just it's a pleasure to be able to do that. So I know Josh feels this way too, but what a privilege it is, has been, to preach here. I want to go back in time I don't know if it's really an article or more of an announcement, but it was written in an article form. But it was the week, I guess, before everything kind of came unglued with COVID. Actually, it had already started to come unglued. It's just that we had not, and we were meeting as we always did, but you could tell things were getting a little strange. They had let school out, and they never started up again. They were just going to have an extra week of spring break, and if you'll recall, everything was going to shut down for 10 days. To get back to normal, and it didn't quite work out that way. So this was the article from just at this outset. I started with a passage, and I really like this passage. I've mentioned before, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast." Now, this was the article / announcement. We live in uncertain times with the declaration of the national pandemic, stock markets crashing, our favorite activities being canceled. We missed basketball season that year. That was one of the worst things of the year. And I was looking forward to seeing Eric play, quite frankly. Our favorite activities being canceled. Nobody could be blamed for being a little unsettled. But we know that God is still in charge, and his eternal purpose for us has not changed. Remember, this is probably the last week of February, first week or two of March. It's of 2020. And it's not that the eternal purpose has changed. It's just that it's time to practice what we preach and trust in the Lord. In return for this trust, God has made us the unbeatable exchange, perfect peace. And then here's the announcement part to tell, really let everybody know what our intentions were. We had met together as an eldership, and we had decided what we were going to do, and so wanted to just pass that along so everybody would have it. Now, as to what to expect in the upcoming weeks and months, it may very well be that we are able to continue to worship as we always have, gathering for Bible classes on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, especially for our coming together to break bread on the first day of each and every week. As it turned out, I think the day after this Sunday, I got a call from the judge in Swisher County, and is very kind. He said, I hear you've been worshiping. It's like, caught us. Guilty. And I refrained. I was really good. I didn't say, "What business do you think this would be of yours? Or are you calling to..." But anyway, he was extremely kind. And there was no need for any rancor or any smart aleck comments. And he just said, here's the situation. And he explained it to me, and he said, my understanding of this, he didn't call it an edict, but that came down statewide, was that you could not meet, I guess this was nationwide, you could not meet with more than 10 people. Unless, of course, you were Walmart. but barring not being Walmart, you couldn't meet with more than 10 people. And so he said, this is my understanding of it. And then he said, oh, yeah, and I'm the judge. And he kind of laughed. Very self-depreciating. He was never anything but kind on this phone call. But his point was, I think you're going to have to stop. And so I just asked him. I said, "Well, what can we do to be able to keep worshiping on the first day of the week?" And he said, "Well, you can meet with no more than 10 people is what the requirement is." And so I said, "Well, we've got two separate facilities. Could we do that?" And he said, "Sure." And so. And I said, "Can we have more than one service?" And he said, "Sure, but you can't mix the people together." And so I said, "Okay." So we started doing that. We did it for about 4 weeks, where we just met together. Some of y'all will recall that very well. And then the governor of our state, bless his heart, for this, said that we had something called the Constitution, and that all public officials need to withdraw any requirements they had on the churches. And so of course the judge was delighted to do that. He thought his hands were tied, so he was pleased to do that. Never heard from him again, but we instantly started to meet again on the first day of the week. But by this time, they were telling you, if you get together, you're all going to die. And so we were very cautious on that. And so, as you know, it changed our worship for about 6 months until we realized that we were it wasn't as serious as we thought it was. But we, again, we never had a week where we didn't gather together on the first day of the week, but we had a lot of changes. Anyway, going on with the announcement, since some may have health precautions that have to be taken into consideration, we'll make certain that those who are unable to gather on the first day of the week will still be able to take the communion. Whether you are, have several in your household with whom you can obey this instruction together, or if you need someone to bring and serve the Lord's Supper to you, we'll make sure it's available. And we did that. Our plan is that the church will still gather together on the first day of each and every week with as many attendants as can be present. We still plan to hold both worship services on the first day of the week and Bible classes at our regular times. Mentioned we had to cut back on that for a while. We even plan to continue to mow our widow's lawn so they won't have that expense. And this was the final point. We will get through this time. Whether or not it becomes as serious as some might guess, our goal remains to get to heaven and to help as many along the way to that goal as possible. And we know that we'll do this with the help of God and with the perfect peace that He's promised to those who do His will, regardless of the particular circumstance we may find ourselves in. Now, here is why I wanted to start with this. When all this started, people were just sure this is going to kill half the population. and this is a smart disease. It knows if you're worshiping, and it knows if you're shopping, so you go shopping. It knows if you're worshiping, knows if you're at the doctor, so you can go to the doctor. But there were all sorts of things that were going on, and we had to adjust. We met fairly quickly after the governor made his point, and we started immediately worshiping on the first day of every week. But we were held back for a while, but we didn't stop, is the point. We did the best we could. Did we make the best decisions? Who knows? But we did the best we could. The reason that this gift of peace is so important is because we have all sorts of things in life that come up. Sometimes it's just your individual health, or maybe it's the health of somebody that's very close to you. Maybe it's your job. Maybe you've had something that you never thought would happen to you. And there are just times where if you'd known you were going to go through that in advance, you'd probably been scared half to death and you'd have been worried. But the point is, you don't have to be. God gives us peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, this is one of the best examples, I think, of what Jesus and what God will do for us. In John 14, 27, Jesus is talking to the 11 faithful apostles. Judas has already left. They'll never see him again. In John 14, 27, as Jesus was explaining to them that he was about to die, he said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And what happened after that? He went out to Gethsemane. He got arrested. Peter got in a sword fight. Now, I don't know if you have ever been around a fight with weapons or have been in a fight with weapons, but it's scary. It alters you for a little bit. Sometimes we pass right over. Oh, he hacked his ear off. He was such a bad aim. Sometimes we miss that, what was happening here. And then as they came to arrest Jesus, and Jesus said, "I am he," it says the soldiers drew back and fell to the ground. Can you imagine the power of Jesus? When the apostles found out that they were not going to be fighting for Jesus, they fled. And apparently there were some other disciples with them. We're told that one young man was wearing nothing more than a linen wrap, and when he fled, they grabbed him and they got the wrap, but they didn't get him, and he fled naked into the night. Imagine what it would take for someone to do that, how much fear he had. And then the apostles scatter, except for, of course, Peter and John, and they go and watch what happens. But then all the events of the next day, Jesus is framed. He is found guilty. The crowd turns on him, begs for him to be killed. And then he is killed in such a brutal fashion that God, when he inspired the scriptures, did not even describe it. It just says he was crucified, or they crucified him. And then the events of the cross, from the darkness for 3 hours to the earthquake, and over this next few days, and then when Jesus arose, we're told that some of the righteous people from the graves outside of town who had died rose from the dead and came into town. But then they heard the rumor from people they trusted that Jesus was alive. And they're gathered together in an upper room. And in Luke 24, verse 36... they're visiting about all this. And it said, while they were still talking about all this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." In the most tumultuous time that just about anybody has ever been through, which Jesus knew was about to occur, he said, before it happened, "Peace I leave with you." And then after it was all done, "Peace be with you." And don't you know, there was probably a mixture of emotions. Peace? We've had nothing but tumult. Now we have the peace he promised. We have difficult things in life. And if we're not careful, that can be all we focus on. And if we get to focusing on the world, we're going to lose. And one of the things we're going to lose is peace. One of the greatest gifts that's ever been given. Here is a principle, two principles actually. The first is this. The righteous consistently have peace, though they will have periods of tumult. The unrighteous consistently have chaos or a lack of peace, though they will have certain times of calm. The unrighteous cannot have peace. And the reason is because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is only for those who are in Christ. Before this happened, before Christ died and people could be baptized into his death and not only receive forgiveness of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit, through whom the fruit of the Spirit, peace, came, it was the righteous who had peace. So it's always been the righteous of all ages, patriarchal times, the Mosaic times, and now for us, the time that will last till the end of time, the Christian dispensation. But Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. And this is another one of my favorite passages. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. It's always interesting to watch my kids and who they ran to during times of trouble. If it was big trouble, they went to mom. If they were hurting, they went to mom. And there was a reason for that. If they came to Dad, both AJ, well, I think AJ and I both have a finger that's like this because I fixed both of them. But I always used to kid with them. You know, oh, I hurt my arm. Do we need to cut it off, Mom? So they got used to just going to Mom. But it was interesting to watch Mom with the babies. She'd pick them up and she would, shh, it's all right. And a baby that was just coming unglued that I could do nothing with and at times wanted nothing to do with any more than they wanted to do with me. Mama could pick that baby up and say, shh, it's all right. When this says my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secured homes, in undisturbed places of rest, the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. This is peace. This is the definition of peace. And it's internal. It's not external. Too often we are fooled by the chaos that's going on around us. And we get caught up in it. As far as this peace, God has never permitted the unrighteous to have peace. Again, it's a fruit of righteousness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But look at this. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 20, the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. I don't know how much you pay attention to different things. I think there are times where I give an unhealthy amount of attention to certain things. I haven't been overly delighted with the outcome of recent elections. I haven't trusted the outcome of recent elections at all time. Whether they were honest or not, there were too many things that would give me the impression that maybe they weren't. And I, if I'm not careful, I will say, oh, they got away with something, instead of realizing the wicked never do. The wicked are always waiting to get caught. Because they know what they've done. You and I have had times in our life where we have done things that we were not proud of and we were afraid that somebody would catch us, even though we got away with it. Sometimes the very worst thing was to get away with it when I was growing up. Get a spanking, get it over with, live the big life that I wanted to live. But if you didn't, you were always waiting for something to fall. We don't have to be that way with God. There is no peace for the wicked, but the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, is peace. And look at this, because this is one of the greatest passages on peace is found in Isaiah chapter 33, just a few verses from the one we just read in Isaiah 32. But Isaiah 33, verse 6. He will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. In a lot of ways, when we talk about peace, we're talking about stability. It's when things are out of whack that we get out of whack and we get unsettled, and you can feel it inside. We talk about having butterflies. That's the way you feel when things are out of whack. But this says God will be the sure foundation of your times in one version, the stability of your times in another. That's what peace is. It's stability from God. It's even though everything else seems to be falling apart around you, and at times it does. And there will be more times like that if you and I are blessed with more years, because that's what the world is like. But in the midst of everything coming apart, there's stability. There's peace. A couple more passages and we'll close. In John chapter 16, well, it comes down to this, I guess. When we talk about peace in Christ and instability in the world, or no peace for the wicked, this is why. John chapter 16, verse 33. This is the tail end of Jesus' conversation at the what has been referred to as the Last Supper. And he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And so this is what we need to look at. Do you have peace? And if the answer is no, and it's not because it's just because of some of the things that are going on outside, if you don't have peace and that's a constant thing with you, this is a symptom that you may no longer be in Christ, or that you may be in danger of falling away from Christ, because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit, if it has good soil, will always grow. The Spirit is a good seed. It will always grow with good soil. But if we don't have that, we're going to have a lack of peace. And this will also tell us why there is so much conflict between Christians and non-Christians. Aren't there times you just want, why don't they just leave us alone? Why is it that big of a deal to them? They just say, I'm okay, you're okay, you do your thing, I'll do mine. But if I do my thing, they seem to get really mad. Why don't they leave Christians alone? And it's because the world cannot have peace with those who are in Christ. It's impossible. In this world, you'll have trouble. In me, in Christ, you'll have peace. And so here we have these two elements. We have like vinegar and baking soda. And when you put those two together, you always have trouble. If you find yourself in a position of a lack of peace, and it's not just for a brief time because of something you're going through, but it's just the way you are, then you really do need to examine yourself to see if you're still in Christ or if you've gotten too close to the world. Because it's the world that has no peace. But for those who are in Christ, for those who are righteous, even though we fail at times, for those who are righteous, there is peace. And the effect of peace is quietness forever. That's a pretty good deal. Invitations open this evening. You may be ready to become a Christian. Maybe you're not yet and you don't have peace because of that. If it's time, we would love to help you with that. You might need the prayers of the congregation. If you have any needs, please come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing.